Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll be reading from verse 5 right through to verse 13. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 right through to verse 15. To verse 13. Matthew 6 from verse 5 to verse 13. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, be not like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in Jesus' name. This morning we want to begin to discuss praying aright. So far we have seen the prayerless Christian, who is usually, generally speaking, a noisemaker. Prayerless Christian is a quarrelsome person because he's fighting, quarreling within and then also without. We've looked at the praying amiss Christian. He might even be a Christian who is always praying, but he's always praying amiss. His prayers are selfish. His prayers are self-focused. His prayers are self-centered. His prayers are contrary to the will of God for his life. He is not focused on what God wants for him. He's focused on what he wants for himself. And so he's a praying amiss Christian and always prays wrong. We've also looked at the praying less Christian. This is a Christian who prays. The only problem is that his praying is less than what he ought to be praying. He's praying below the capacity that God has given to him to pray. He prays intermittently. Sometimes he prays only on Sundays in church. He prays sometimes, sometimes he doesn't pray. He's not someone that you can say he prays. Then he doesn't pray through. Whenever he prays, he falls short of that breakthrough that would explode for him. He gives up in the middle of prayer. We said that even though he doesn't pray amiss, he is ineffective and ineffectual in his praying. Because he prays just so much, and he stops there. We looked at the example of the king of Israel when he went to Elisha, and Elisha told him to strike the ground with the arrow with all the prophecies and everything. He struck the ground only 3 times, and Elisha was angry with him and said, why didn't you continue at least 5 or 6 times? But look at now, you're only going to have victory over Syria 3 times. Should have continued and you'd have gained total victory. And that is the problem of the praying less Christian. His victories are always less than what they ought to be. We said, of course, that he doesn't break through in prayer. He doesn't pray until he gets the result that he should be getting. He does not pray until the appropriate answer comes from God. We therefore summarize that he is not persistent in prayer. He does not prevail in prayer. He easily gives up in prayer. He exhibits little or no faith in praying. He may only pray in church and not elsewhere. He prays just to get some relief. Once he gets some relief, he's okay. He doesn't pray to get complete victory. And he does not fully utilize or experience the power of God that is within him. Because it is through prayers that that power is released. And so a believer who prays less than he should pray doesn't get to release the fullness of the power of God into his life and into the ministry. And so we conclude by saying that the victories that we experience in this world, that we experience on earth, is first experienced where? In the spiritual, through prayer. So, a prayerless Christian or a fellow who does not pray does not get any victory. A Christian who prays amiss gets missed victories. In fact, all the victories he misses. The prayerless Christian gets what? Less victory. And the Christian who prays always, always gets the victory. So, this morning, we want to look at the essence of praying in a personal way and, you know, in a manner that we should be praying. We are not doing these studies just because we want to get knowledge. No, we are doing it because we want to be able to apply this knowledge to praying aright. So as we begin to learn praying aright today, our focus for this morning will be on establishing the necessity of prayer. The necessity of prayer. You can take that as a title, or you take that as I'll give you something else. And if you look at the verses, you will see verse 5. Look at verse 5, the beginning of verse 5, the beginning of verse 6, and the beginning of verse 7. You see the phrase, when you pray. When you pray. When you pray. So if you want, you can take when you pray as a title, or you can pray the necessity of praying as a title. Whichever you want as a title is okay. The operational word in that phrase, when you pray, is the word when. The word when is speaking to us of the fact that it is expected that you will pray. He didn't say if. If he had said if, it would be okay whenever you want to pray. If you pray at all, pray like this. If you pray at all, pray, don't pray like this. If you pray at all, pray this way. If you pray at all, don't use this, and so on and so forth. That could have been what he said. But that's not what he said. He said, when you pray. So, what we're trying to get you to understand here is that as long as you are born again, a child of God, Jesus is your Savior, Jesus is your Lord, then you must what? Pray. Prayer is not optional. It is mandatory. You can write that down. Prayer is not optional. It is mandatory. Prayer is not a painful duty that you must do. It is something that you must do with joy. Prayer is not something that we say, well, you know, I don't feel like praying today. And many of us do that. I don't feel like praying today. So I will let today go by and I will not pray. That is not an option. It's not a statement that should be heard from somebody who is a believer in the Lord Jesus. And so all I'm going to do this morning is to give you, we'll look at the experience of those before us. And then we'll look at what we have been asked to do. And then we'll close. That's all we're going to do today. I just want to introduce this subject of praying aright. But we must understand that when we say praying aright, it's not just getting the methodology of praying and then we go back to praying less. We are praying aright because we want to pray much. We want to pray as we ought to pray. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. When the Lord was leaving, he told his disciples that they should wait in Jerusalem until the promise of the Father, that is the Holy Spirit, comes, right? And you would expect, of course, that they would obey him and tarry. But how did they tarry? That is the issue here. How was it that they tarried? Acts chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible tells us how many they were. And in verse 14 it says, these all, how many of them now, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They waited for the promise of the Spirit. How? In prayer. They continued in one accord to pray. That is how they got into the place of receiving the promise. Many of us hear the promise of God. We say amen. We say praise God. A prophecy has been given over my head. And then we go away. We don't continue in prayer. The fact that you have heard a prophecy, I think we discussed that last week, is a mark that you should now go and begin to pray until it is fulfilled. Or at least until you hear the Lord say to you, start thanking me. Until you hear something else. But you must pray that prophecy to be. Praise the name of the Lord. I want you to understand one thing. As you have heard that prophecy, so has the devil heard it. I hope you know that. And whatever he needs to do to discourage, he may not be able to stop it, but he can discourage you. And if you are discouraged, you will not be in the place, positionally and mentally speaking, to receive the promise when it finally comes. And so many people miss the promise because they are not continuing in prayer. There are believers, sadly, whose entire life revolve around prophecy. When they go to church, all they are looking for is what? As long as it's a man of God prophesied. So after the man has prophesied, they go away. Those are lazy Christians. Those are the people we categorize as prayerless Christians. They know how to recite those prophecies, but they will not pray it to be. Even though the Lord had told them that the Holy Spirit was definitely going to come and they should wait in Jerusalem, the Bible says they continued, all of them, in one accord. In what? In prayer. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42. We are looking at the necessity of prayer. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they, now these are people who, after Peter preached that first day in Acts chapter 2, about 3,000 souls were added. And when they came as new believers, the Bible says, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in what? In prayers. Even the new believers were made to continue in prayer. It is not optional. One would have said, well, you know, he just gave his life to Christ. My friend, that is the time he needs to learn prayer. In fact, that is the time he needs to begin to pray.
Is it true?
It is that time that he must begin to pray. You will notice that they continued in the apostles' doctrine, right? They continued in fellowship, right? They continued in breaking of bread or communion. And they continued also in apostles' doctrine, that is teachings, preaching, fellowship, coming together, worshiping God, dancing before God, breaking bread, having communion service, is not a substitute to praying. Do you understand that? Don't say because, well, you know, we went for teachings today, so I won't pray. Or, well, you know, we're having Bible study this evening, so let me keep the prayer. When we meet at Bible study in the evening, we'll pray. No. It's not a substitute. Praying stands distinct, as those things also stand distinct. So there is nothing that substitutes for praying. Nothing. Nothing that substitutes for praying. In Acts chapter 3 verse 1, the Bible says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. Let me ask a question. Why did they go to the temple at the hour of prayer? To pray. They didn't go there because they just wanted to go and visit. They went to the temple to pray. In fact, there's a scripture, I think it's Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56 verse 7. Isaiah 56 verse 7. Let's quickly rush there. Isaiah 56 verse 7. What the Lord said about the house of God. Isaiah 57 verse 7 said, even them I will bring, he's talking about the Gentiles, to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of, the house of God is a house of prayer. He said, their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called what? A house of prayer for all. That's what the house of God is called. And the Lord Jesus quoted this same scripture in Matthew chapter 21, I believe it is. Matthew chapter 21, verse 13. When he threw out the tables of the money changers and the men that sold doves. In verse 13 he said, Matthew 21 verse 13, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of what? Thieves. They went to the temple to pray because the temple is the place of what? Prayer. The house of God is the place of prayer. Even when we gather here to hear the word of God, we don't gather emptily. We gather also to do what? To pray. That's why we encourage you to come early so that we can at least pray at the beginning and pray at the end. We start with prayer, we end with prayer. They went to pray in the temple. And as God will have it, on the way to praying in the temple, we know what happened. What do you call him now? A beggar who had been sitting at the gate, who never entered into the temple. He's always sat at the gate of the gate called Beautiful. Looked at them and said, ah, please give me something. They looked at him and said, well, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We don't have silver, we don't have gold. Stand up and begin to walk. And the man began to walk and entered in the temple with them for the first time in his life. Began to jump, began to leap, began to praise God inside the temple of God. To tell those people who had been going there that this is what we're supposed to be doing in the house of God. Jumping, leaping, and praising God in the house of God. We don't come to the house of God for show. We don't come to the house of God for whatever it is that pleases us. We come to the house of God to pray. In Acts chapter 4, from verse 13 to 31, Acts chapter 4, from verse 13 to 31, we read how the Sanhedrin, after they found Peter and John preaching in the temple, had arrested them and were now telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus. Of course, they said, well, we cannot but continue in this way. We have to continue to preach. Eventually, they threatened them and released them and said, go, but make sure you don't do that. Let's read verse 17 of Acts chapter 4. But so that it spread no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, where am I? Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. For the man was over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed, And being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. Let's pause. A number of times, we encounter situations in life and we report these situations to people, to our companions. We discuss it. Is that not so? We discuss our challenges. Husbands discuss with their wives. Wives discuss with their husbands. Children discuss with their parents. Parents even discuss with the children at family altar time. Those who run it. They discuss the challenges. But they never take the next step, which is to pray about the matter. In verse 24. So it says, so when they heard that, when they heard this report concerning what the spiritual leaders of their time had said, stopping them from preaching in the name of Jesus, they raised what? Their voice to God with one accord. There is what we call corporate prayer. There is public praying. There is personal praying. And there is private praying. It is important that you pray in private. Because the fellow who is not praying in private is a man who will be weak in public. Public praying is good. For example, we're in church. It's a public place. However, when you pray in public, we pray in a personal form. Even though we are praying in public. For example, if I go to a restaurant to eat, I want to bless God for the food. It's a public place, and I'm praying. But I'm praying a personal prayer, right? I'm not going to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. That which I'm about to eat, I sanctify. No. That's not this. It's a private thing. It's a personal thing I'm doing, even though I'm in a public place. But corporate praying is when we are all in one accord. It's important. That is not the time to remember your own concerns. Do you understand? We are praying one cause. We all pray that one cause. You don't say, oh, thank God we are praying now. I just remember now I have this challenge. No. That is why the early church, they were so powerful. In one accord. And they said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage, and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Even though we are not going into any deep study. But this particular scripture begins to tell us the manner of praying aright. We see that they are quoting scriptures, right? We see that they recognize who they are praying to. They are not praying to a God who is powerless. They recognize the ability of God. They are not questioning the ability of God. And in verse 27 says, for truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It's amazing how we can read the scriptures and see the effectiveness of prayer in the lives of the early Christians, and not ask ourselves what has gone wrong with our generation. People pray. They prayed then, and there were results. How come we are not praying and getting results? There are things that we are going to look at. But it is partly because we see prayer as an option. We see prayer as something that must be said when we have a problem. We only pray when there's a problem. We don't pray when there's no problem. We never pray proactively. We pray in reaction to something. These people were praying, yes, reacting to something, but they were proactive in prayer. We saw from the beginning that even when they were told to wait for the Holy Spirit, they did not wait passively. They waited prayerfully. We cannot be waiting passively for God's things to happen. Our waiting must be prayerful in accordance with the way of God. Praise the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 6, from verse 1 to 4, there was a problem in the church. Now in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. The apostles placed a priority and a premium on prayer and the ministry of the word. So much so that even when there was a crisis, they did not allow it to disturb it. Instead, they sought a means by which they would be freed from having to serve tables and rather focus on prayer and the word. You and I must recognize the place that prayer is supposed to take in the life of anybody who says he or she is a Christian. There is a priority of prayer. There is a premium that we must place on prayer. We cannot be praying, or rather, we cannot be acting as though prayer is a special thing that you reserve for times of crisis, that you reserve for, a major challenge. We pray. By the time we begin to look at the true meaning of prayer, you will see that prayer is not just petition, but prayer is worship. That prayer is about seeking the will of God. Prayer is about bringing God's will, God's plan and purpose to be established on earth. Prayer is much more than that. Prayer is something that we do in communion as fellowship. Prayer is conversation. We talk to God. God speaks to us. And then we take what God has said and take it back to Him. That is what prayer is all about. It's not just when I have a problem that I come to pray. That is why prayer is not an option. It's something we do every day of our lives. We do it when we wake up. We do it throughout the time, throughout our time while we're awake. We do it before we go to bed. We pray. It's not optional. It's mandatory. It's not just there to deal with the challenges of life. It's there so that we can relate better with God. The apostles recognize that. They have placed the premium on it. They have placed the priority to it. And we're not going to allow anything to disturb them. In Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, the Bible tells us about how the Lord Jesus called the apostles and said that they should be with him. Mark chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Then he appointed 12, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, and to have power to heal sicknesses, and to cast out demons. This is the priority. This is the order in which things are to be done. First, we spend time with the Lord, in the place of fellowship and praying. And then, he tells us what to preach. And if need be, we are empowered to cast out demons. But what do we have today? The first thing anybody wants to do is to go and cast out demons. He hasn't spent time with the Lord. In fact, they don't preach anymore. They just say we want to cast out demons. Without the word, without having spent time with the Lord. No wonder many of these people who are engaging themselves in deliverance ministries are themselves encumbered with demonic activities. Because they are not taking the proper thing. The priority is to prayer. The priority is to spending time with the Lord. He's the one who knows what you need to cast out, what you don't need to cast out. What you need to just pray about. You don't have to lay hands on a demon-possessed person. You just cast out the demon. By the time you spend time with the Lord in prayer, things will begin to be revealed to you. In Acts chapter 9. From verse 1 to verse 11. That's the story of Saul of Tarsus, who encountered the Lord. This was a man who was persecuting Christians and was going to Damascus to arrest some, lock them up. On the way, he meets with the Lord. And the Lord says to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He says, who are you, Lord? I don't know you. I'm persecuting some miscreants called Christians. He said, but they are me. So it's me you are persecuting. And he said, what do you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord said to him, go into the city. I will tell you what to do. While he was in the city, in Damascus, blind, of course, something happened. Now let's read verse 11 from verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is what?
He's praying.
Nobody had ministered to this fellow yet. Only that a light struck him and he was engaged in a conversation with a voice who introduced himself as Jesus.
Yeah, he's praying.
If Saul, who just had an encounter, was praying, how much more you and I, who have had more than one encounter, several encounters, if Saul of Tarsus was praying so much that God could wake another disciple up and say, go to this so-and-so place. There is a fellow called Saul. He is praying. God was telling him, this is what he's doing. He's praying. When you go there, you go and do this, you go and do this, go and lay hands on him. He said, Saul, who came to catch us? He said, don't worry. He's a chosen vessel. He's a vessel unto honor for me now. Go to him. He's praying. You see, there's no way God will send someone to someone who is not praying. If they send someone to you and you're not praying, the next thing you're going to hear is pray. Maybe that's why you're hearing this message today. Because a lot of us are just not praying. We just believe that the pastor is there to pray for us. So we go to the pastor. Man of God, I have this challenge, pray. I am not saying that you don't go to, your pastor is there for several purposes. One of the major purposes, therefore, is to build you up, to prepare you for the work of ministry, to make sure that you stand as a strong believer. He's also there for counseling. You need counseling sometimes. As you're praying, you don't understand some things, you go to him for counsel. That's the reason why he's there. But he's not there as somebody you go to for prayers. No, that's not why he's there. You are to pray. If in the course of your praying, the Lord now says to you, go and see your pastor, that's okay. But, for example, you're in a tight spot, you need counsel, you are praying and it's a little bit difficult, you're not hearing, you can go to your pastor for counsel. But you don't go to the pastor, pastor, pray for me, and then you are walking away free of charge. Elijah informed Ahab that I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Let's go there. 1 Kings chapter 18. I believe it is. 1 Kings chapter 18. From verse 41. The land had been polluted. Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal to a contest. Eventually, he had conquered them, had killed all of them. In verse 41, then Elijah said to Ahab, Ahab is the king, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of what? I'm sure many of us like that. Go up, eat and drink, there's a sound of abundance. We say, amen! And so Ahab goes up to eat and to drink. Verse 42, so Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. What was he doing there? Ahab went to eat. Elijah went to pray. And said to his servants, go up now. Look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot. And go down before the rain stops you. What kind of people are we? Are we like Ahab? Who needed someone to always tell him the will of God? To always tell him what God needs to do or what God wants to do? This kind of relationship may have worked under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, it doesn't work. Under the new covenant, every believer has direct access to God. Every Christian, from the least to the most senior, they have direct access to God. Use that access. Let God be the one to say to you, go and see your pastor, or go and see brother so-and-so, or go to so-and-so place. That's okay. Sometimes, yes, you're in a tight spot, fine. You can see your pastor. No problem. There's nothing wrong with that. But that cannot be the order of the day. The order of the day is first you do what? You pray. It is, pastor, there's a challenge I'm going through right now. Please pray along with me. Not pray for me. Because you are praying, the pastor is also praying. On the same matter. That's how it is. Nobody expects you to carry the load alone. You are carrying the load of prayer. It's a burden. It's not going up. Fine. Ask for help. Get somebody who you know, this one will pray along with me. Brother, sister, please pray along with me. There's a challenge I'm going through at this time. Join me in prayers. Then we pray along with you. But it's not the part of brother, sister. Some people say they are prayer warriors. So you now go and tell them, you give them your list, long list of things that you won't pray for. Say, this is what we want to pray for. And then you give them money. And you go ahead and live as you want to live. Sleep, eat, enjoy yourself like Ahab. And then they pray. And then when they finish, after 2 weeks, they come and tell you, as we're praying for you, brother, we saw this. What kind of nonsense is that? You can pray. So let's look at what the Bible tells you and I to do. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Is that what I said? 4, 2, right? Okay, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. You have to do what? How? Earnestly, not like a desiccant, not passively, with all vigilance. That is, watch and pray with thanksgiving. You are to continue in prayer. What does the word continue mean? Keep doing it. Ceaselessly, keep doing it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. We are looking at scriptural injunctions to the believer. It's not an injunction to pastors. It's an injunction to believers, to Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17, what does it say? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. No breaks. Don't take vacations. Even when you have to go on leave, prayer doesn't take leave. Even when you travel on vacation, prayer has not traveled on vacation. In your vacation, you pray. During your leave, you pray. At work, you pray. In the bus, you pray. Pray without season, throughout the day, under the old covenant, they had times of prayer. They had hours of prayer. Under the new covenant, we don't have hours of prayer. We pray ceaselessly. Continue earnestly in prayer with all vigilance. Pray without ceasing. In Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1, the Bible says that Jesus Christ told the parable to the effect that men always ought to
pray.
Always ought to
pray.
Always ought to not taking a break. Always. We are praying always. Always. By the time we start talking more about prayer, you will see how it is possible to pray always. Some of us think that prayer is when you have knelt down, close your eyes in your closet. No, that's prayer, yes. But prayer is more than that. Like I said, prayer is conversation, communion with God. You're talking to God. It can be done in a bus. It can be done at your desk. It can be done in the toilet. You can talk to God throughout. There's one song that somebody sang all day. It says, I'm just walking around. I have so many things. Busy schedules. So, but I think what I'm going to do, I just need to take you along with me and let's continue to talk all day. Let's talk all day. That's what praying is. That's what we are enjoined to do. To talk how? All day with God. I think there was a camp meeting I went to, and the theme was, if you must talk, I said, this meeting, there's no talking. But if you must talk, talk to whom? Talk to God. And of course, the usual lackadaisical Christian, soon after that injunction was given, they were talking to themselves. The level of complaint would drop amongst Christians if Christians prayed. But Christians don't pray. The Bible enjoins us to pray. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, we see the Lord Jesus while he was here on earth. While the Lord was here on earth. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The Bible says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he did what? He prayed. This is the Lord Jesus, the Son of the living God. As long as you are in this body, this flesh, you cannot do without prayer. He woke up long ago before others were sleeping. He was up. There are too many of us who are enjoying sleep. We can't wake up to pray. Oh, we say we are walking. That is the morning. You should wake up much earlier. Wake up much earlier. Spend at least 1 hour praying. Do your Bible study. To your reading and praying in the process. Then you dash into the shower, take your bath, get ready, and then you can go to work. But that you will just wake up in the morning, jump into the shower, take your bath, and you are off. I cannot understand how you can do that. That you have not spoken to the God who knows your day, your night, your afternoon, your rising up, your sitting down, your going out, your coming in, no discussion with him, you are just going out. How is that possible? Some say there is no time. Wake up early. The Lord Jesus did that. Wake up early. I think there was something they taught us when we were growing up. They say early to rise, early to bed. We want to watch TV till 2 a.m. We actually watch TV till 2 and then we're waking up at 6. Say, I was watching something too. I'm so tired. Then you rush to the office. Sleep early. So that you can wake early. Change your entire lifestyle. If prayer is your priority, let prayer be revolved around your lifestyle. Praying has to be part of it. You can't have a program that you're not praying. You can't run your daily life that has no prayer involved. You can't be going to submit contracts without praying. You can't be taking decisions, no matter how small, without praying. Many of us think that praying is something we do when we have a major decision to take. No, sir. The decisions you call small can give you major headaches in future. You have no business taking any decision, doing anything without first praying. That's the truth. The Lord is Lord, is God. He left the heavens, came down to the earth in the form of man. Being found in that fashion, he depended on his morning meetings with his Father. He prayed. A number of times at the time, I think at the Mount of Transfiguration, he took with him Peter, James, and John to that mountain so that they could pray. While he was praying, what were they doing? They were sleeping. He was praying. He was transfigured not because he is the Son of God. He was transfigured because he was praying. The transfiguration was the result of prayer, not the result of him being the Son of God. No, God is not a respecter of persons. Being found in the fashion of a man, he had to do everything, and he came to show us what we must do. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, prayer is not an option. It is mandatory. Begin to pray every day, henceforth. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. This is the baptism of Jesus. The Bible says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. Now when you read this, it doesn't capture the full story. So let's go to Luke chapter 3. That is where we'll see what really happened. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Luke 3, 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, how many people were baptized? It came to pass that Jesus also was, and while he did what? What happened? The heavens was open. The heaven doesn't open just because he was baptized. He was praying. You want open heavens? It's in prayer. Heavens don't open just because you are a Christian. No, heavens will open when you pray. It is indispensable. It's mandatory. It's not a substitute to going to church. Going to church is not a substitute to praying. Giving an offering or paying your tithe is not a substitute to praying. Running after the man of God and carrying the Bible is not a substitute to praying. Some people who are adjutants to pastors don't even pray. I don't know what they think they are doing. You are an adjutant to a pastor, the more reason why you should pray. Joshua, who was Moses' assistant, the Bible tells us that when Moses would leave the tent and go to his own tent to sleep, where was Joshua? Inside that tent. Joshua didn't go anywhere. That was time he now had, because all the while he was guarding Moses. So when Moses has gone, he now has time to stay with God. We just think that people just get up overnight and that's how they become something. Have you spent time in prayer? How I wish I was born again as a teenager. God help me, the kind of prayer I would have been praying as at that age. But I can't understand. Especially in a country where we recognize what evil is all about. And we will not pray. And then we now get up and we go and meet some evil men. And say, man of God, pray. He's not a man of God. He's a wicked man. He's an evil man. Say, pray for me. What is he praying for you? You can't pray to God yourself. The Bible talks about a new and living way by which we have access. It says, let us therefore go to the throne of grace with boldness and receive help. The Lord prayed. That was why heaven opened. That was why the voice came from heaven. He prayed. Daniel prayed. An angel was sent to him. The resources of heaven had to be gathered to make that angel pass through and get the message to Daniel and return. Open heavens is not a crusade thing. Open heavens is not a message thing. Open heavens result from prayers. As we pray, the heavens open. Can you imagine each one of us praying in our different homes and the heavens are opening in different locations and God is speaking to each one of us? Imagine how much of a dynamite will be when we come together as a church. Small fires, small sparks of fires. I want you to picture somebody who wants to prepare suya. He gathers coal, right? And starts putting, what's it called now? They put the flammable liquid, strike match so that they think I'm burned, right? Now picture another fellow while this one is trying to burn his coal so that the folk can... Picture somebody who has been able to gather hot coals from different places and put them inside that thing. Is he going to be doing that burning? He already has the fire going. He can prepare suya in a short time. What I'm trying to say here is, the amount of time we spend trying to blow fire in the church from coal that is wet, dead, trying to pour fluid so that strike a match so that the thing can catch. If we all came from our homes with our small fires, what do we have in the church? We have a massive conflagration of flames. That's what we have in the church. Remember, it is where two or three are gathered together in my name. It doesn't matter how many we are, as long as each one is coming with the fire of God in him, we have a conflagration going on. No wonder the apostles prayed. The place was shaking. If there's any shaking taking place in our churches, it is just the sheer number of people making noise at the same time. That's all. But that heaven will open and the place will shake, it doesn't happen in our churches. Because people are all wet. And we have to start dousing. Even when it comes time for praise and worship in many of the big churches, the worship leader has to spend time begging people to get up, begging people to focus on God. What is all that? Some of them are not even cold at all. They are just dry, wet wood, just freshly cut. No fervor, no fervency for prayer, no desire for God. All they just want is, let my needs be met. Let my needs be met. You want the heavens to open over you, brother? You better be praying. You want to see the kind of things that happened in the life of Jesus? You better be praying. He did not joke with prayer. It was an indispensable part of his ministry. How many of us remember that song? Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started and he ended. Prayer is the master. It's not a song. It was given to us as a song so that we can recite it and recognize the import. It's the key. Our Lord, the one that we say we are following, that is how he started his ministry. And when he ended on the cross, he didn't curse on the cross. He recognized the indispensability of prayer, the indispensability of praying, the effectualness and effectiveness of praying. We must no less Recognize its significance, its priority, its premium, and its importance. I can picture a situation where there are 20 Christians in a city, each one talking to God, either at the same time or at different hours. And the heavens are opening over the messages, angelic activity taking place. Let me tell you, the demons in that city will begin to shake. Because once they may not know what is happening, but they know that, the movement of angels, wow, there's something is about to happen. But when the city and angels are comfortable, as demons are comfortable, to operate as they like, because there's no open heavens anywhere. The heavens are shut. The people are sinning. They're in church, but they are sinning. They're not praying. They're not doing anything. And they say, we're not seeing results. What results do you want to see? You didn't study. You say you want results. How do you get the results without studying? You need to do what is needful, and the results will come. I'm told of the days of the Soviet Union when there were persecutions and you had the underground church. They couldn't go anywhere with the Bible. You couldn't go anywhere with the Bible because if they catch you with the Bible, you're in trouble. They didn't even have a meeting place. Each one in their various homes would be praying to God. And the Holy Spirit would tell them, get up and start moving. They start moving. They follow the direction of the Holy Spirit until they landed in a particular house and all of them will gather there. Led by the Spirit of God. The fellow who is going to share that day is the only one who will come with a page of the Bible. And that's the passage he has to preach. Nobody else carries the Bible. He just goes there with that little page. He's the one that God has appointed. That was how that church thrived in that place. In the face of persecution. Are we in a position to even hear from God today? Look at when the militants had activity. Churches had to drop down their time to make room for the militants to have their way. We dropped our time. We changed our time of service so that militants can have their way. At a different time. Where we ought to have taken charge of the city. Ought to have taken charge of the community. Have we done that in prayer? It's in prayer. It's in prayer. Oh, I have a stubborn landlord. Pray. Let God change the heart of the landlord. The community is bad. Pray. Oh, the church is... Pray. You do the praying. Let us stop the conversation. Let's stop the talking. If we must talk, let's talk to who? Let's talk to God. Romans chapter 12 verse 12. Romans 12, 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. The old King James says, continuing instant in prayer. The Amplified says, continuing constantly in prayer. So we have to continue in prayer how? Steadfastly, instantly, constantly, earnestly. Prayer is not a lackadaisical thing. Prayer is an action thing. That's why you have the kind of words being used when we are talking of prayer. Steadfastly. Instantly, persistently, prevailing. They are words that tell you what is expected of you in prayer. Let's continue in prayer. In Luke chapter 21, 34 to 36, you will see the kind of danger that we live in and why we prayer can never be an option. Why prayer is something that we must do mandatorily. Luke chapter 21, 34 to 36. But take heed to yourselves. Lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day, he's talking of the day of the Lord, when the world will end, when Christ will come and the saints will go, when the Antichrist establishes his reign and comes with lesser tribulation and greater tribulation and so on and so forth. Let that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare, as a trap. It will come as though, when they say snare here, I don't know if you know in those when the hunter wants to catch an animal, you know what they do? They dig a hole, they dig a pit with dangerous things inside. How many of you know that? They dig a pit with dangerous things inside, and then they use just the brushes of the leaves as though it's normal. So if you don't know, you will think it's a normal. So the animal just walks normally until it falls into it. That's what it's saying. That day comes as such a snare. Remember what he said about the days of Noah. He said, as it was in the days of Noah, every time I see people getting married, I remember that scripture, as it was in the days of Noah. And I say, Lord, if you are coming now, please. Yes! We shouldn't let our heads just fall into the sky. Even when you are the one doing the wedding, say, Lord, as I'm joining them, if it comes, let me be up there. So as it was in the days of Noah, they were continuing in wedding, getting married and giving away marriage, celebration. When those times come, he says, it will come as a snare. Take heed. Don't let your hearts get so following those things. The old King James used the word, this is the word surfeited. It's something that weighs you down as a result of too much enjoyment. When you see people who have enjoyed, their stomach is big. They can't even move around. They just sit there and say, yesterday was something else. You have to now relax. It says, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. They won't know. It will be like any normal day when that day comes. Watch therefore and pray how? Always. that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Why are you supposed to pray always here? So that you can be counted worthy to escape. You must know that. So it tells me straight away that not everybody can escape this. It is those who are watchful and prayerful, whom God is going to give special grace to say, this is a trap. I'm not going this way. Something they hear. I'm not going that way. That is how God will help you. I bet it's in prayer. So when you are not praying, you will fall into those traps. They will just fall into those pits. Because all around you, there are snares all around you. You need to be praying. That's what the Lord says here. Is the Lord, if you look at your Bible, is it in red letters? Those of you who have red letter Bible, is it in red letters? So who spoke it? The Lord Jesus has spoken. Today, many of our hearts are burdened. We are burdened with a very heavy load of the things that's happening in the world. We are concerned. When we look at Nigeria, for example, in fact, there's so much to be concerned in Nigeria. Look at this country. Instead of the president to do his work, he's fighting with the governor. Instead of the governor to do his work, he's fighting with the... They're just fighting themselves. I don't know what they think they are doing. The president goes somewhere and gives himself pass mark. When we tell him that you fail, he says, no, I'm the one who's marking my result myself. I've passed. They're just fighting. There's so much to be troubled about in Nigeria. If you are not careful, you'll be so concerned with the problem of Nigeria and you'll leave your soul untended. Or is it the world that we're looking at? The economies of the world, the nations of the world that we thought were strong economically, see them falling. If you look at the economies of this world, you won't do anything. Your heart will just disappear. You say, where now? What else? Or look around you. You see a boy who didn't go to school, who didn't have anything, driving one big car that he got from as a result of stealing. If you put your eye on that one, you are going to be entrapped. You very soon you'll be falling. A young man told me one day after one of those radio programs, I think about a year or two ago, that pastor, please pray for me. I said, what is your problem? He said, this is a banker. He was working in a bank, had a job in a bank. A Christian working in a bank has a job. Then somebody came and told him of bunkering in Ogonila. He resigned. In fact, he did not resign. He stopped going to work. He stopped going to work and went to bunker fuel. Are you laughing? He didn't resign. He just stopped because of a better opportunity. Now he's calling from Ogonila and asking the man of God to pray for him. I said, what do you want me to pray for? I said, number one, you must remove your hand from that. It's called stealing by any other name. He said, now I realize. I said, fine. Which church is near you there? This church mentioned one church. I said, go there. He said, no, I said, you have that church. Oh, yeah, go to that church now. You want to stay in the village and call a radio pastor that you don't even know to pray for you. But that's what is happening today. People are heavy, heavy burdened. Their children's school fees. They are the cares of this life, they are real. Do you understand that? They are real. And if you are not careful, they will ensnare you. Do you know how many people have collected bribes because they want to pay their children's school fees? Do you know how many people have lied because they want to pay their house rent? They are cares of this life. And they are in church. Go to the ministries. Go to the parastatals. Go to the paramilitary organizations. Go to the military organizations. They are people who come to church on Sunday with needs. But they are collecting bribes. They are lying. They are stealing. They are cheating. Why? None of them is praying. They are ensnared already by the cares of this life. By the affairs of this life. Because they are not praying. They are not watching thereunto. Many are already caught in this trap. And they are in church. On Sunday, the testimony time. What's that thing they say? Victory time, they're there to testify. What are they testifying? I don't understand. Testify that, oh, God was so good. Somebody came and gave me 50,000. Because why? They say, no, the pastor prayed for favor. So they gave me favor. Go and ask how he got that 50,000. He virtually twisted the man's arm. That if you don't give me this money, I'm not signing that paper. That's how he got it. He came to testify. And somebody, another person just say, hey, God, you are wicked, though. God, you are wicked. See how you bless this boy. Very soon, what will happen? You'll go and be lying and be cheating because you also want to come and give that kind of foolish testimony. One man gets up and says, oh, God has blessed me with a contract of 400 million. Because of what? Your name is Good Luck Jonathan. Go and tell that to someone. Don't come and lie to us in church. We know how you got it. So let's be careful. Lest our hearts are weighed down with this kind of thing. And we are ensnared. That's why verse 36 is important. Watch therefore and pray how? Always. That you may be counted worthy to escape. Escape, you know what they call an escape? You are trapped and somebody releases a small hole so that you can get out. That's what an escape. As by flight. So you can fly and get away from that trap. All these things, they entrap. It will come to pass. And also to do what? To be able to stand before the Son of Man. Honestly speaking, if you read this Bible as you should read it, you will know that except God is helping you, you can't stand before Him. There's not one of us that can stand before the living God, except God helps us. It is prayer that brings you to that place where heaven will say, He has invested much in praying. Help him to escape.
He has invested much in praying. Let him stand before me.
If you read the scriptures, the few people who were able to stand, the Bible will tell you that, and he lifted me by the Spirit that I may be able to stand. You can't stand before God except God is there to help. You need to pray to be counted worthy to stand before. We speak so much about help, but I don't think we understand what will qualify us to get there and how the grace of God is so important if we are going to be standing. Finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I know that a message like this can very easily get you worked up. You're challenged. You want to pray. Say, I'm going to start to pray. I'm going to start to pray. Then we pray in church. You pray. Then you leave church and it ends. By the grace of God, that fire must not die today. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
That fire must, as it continues to burn, it must keep burning. From now on, it must keep burning. The Bible says we should get our loins and keep our lamps burning. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. For a great, let's read from verse 8. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great and effective door has opened to me. And there are many open doors, breakthroughs, testimonies. I mean, genuine Christian testimonies. Victories of the Lord. They always come with adversaries in tow. Note that. They always come with adversaries in tow. And so, you must have the instrument of prayer. The challenges of life, they come with open doors. And it says, there are many what? The adversaries are what? There are many, not one. The adversaries can be people. Different people. Could be situations. Different conditions. An adversary is someone who is standing opposite you to stop you from making progress. That's what adversary is. Or someone who is lying in opposition to you. So there are these people, there are people there, there are situations, there are conditions waiting for you as that door is opening so that you won't pass through it. And I'm telling you the truth. If you are going to overcome those adversaries, it's not going to be by talk. It's not going to be by saying, excuse me, please. You say, you have to, come and pass. Remember that Daniel story? How many days was he praying for? 21 days. How many of you remember that story? Just one or two? Okay, let me tell the story. Daniel was fasting and praying on a particular matter to God. 21 days after, an angel comes and tells Daniel, he says, most beloved of the Lord, I have come to bring you the answer to your request. Then he tells him a bombshell. He said, from the first day that you decided to pray, what happened? The answer was sent. From the very first day. He said, however, on the way, what happened? The prince of Persia withstood me and I couldn't go. So as Daniel was praying, he now said, your prince, Michael, came and helped me. And now he's standing there waiting for me to return, because if he's not there, I can't return. So he has to stand there waiting for me to return. You see, in heaven, they don't fight the way we fight. We fight based on power. They fight based on authority. Even though that angel was sent by God, he's a lower angel compared to the prince of Persia. So once he sees the prince of Persia, the prince of Persia says, stop. He has to stop. He can't go anywhere. But the moment the prince of God, Michael, comes, Michael was of a higher authority than the prince of Persia. Prince of Persia cannot stop that man anymore. Michael says, I'll go. And the man goes. That's it. But what I'm trying to say is that the answer was sent when? First day. That door was already open. But there was an adversary. And Daniel continued to pray and continued to pray for 21 days. That was under the old covenant. Under the new covenant, you know, we have a different arrangement. We have a name that is higher than any other name. And the Bible says, at the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Either in heaven, on earth, or underneath the earth. And every tongue must confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. We have a name. But why is that name not effective for many of us? Because we are not even in fellowship with the name. You can't come and say, I come in the name of the Lord. God will say, who is that fellow? Who's that fellow? What's that thing they call now? Dropping my name. Who's that fellow name dropping? Who is he? I don't know him. And the demon say, well, I just heard from heaven that the devil know you. So what are you doing here? Remember the sons of Sceva who were going about casting out demons in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. The angel said, we know Jesus, we know Paul. Who are you? And beat the living devil out of seven of them. They left naked. Their clothes were torn. We are not using the name of God as we should. We are misusing it. And yet there are adversaries. And the solution, my brothers and my sisters, even after the door has been opened, is prayer. Now, many of you will recognize what I'm trying to say here. I know that some people will tell us that they call it the near, what was that thing? People go to those churches now. Near success syndrome. There's nothing like that. This is the reason. The door has been opened. There are adversaries. To deal with the adversaries, you must be prayer.
You live according to the standards of God and be prayerful. That's how you get them out of it. We all make those mistakes. Then we come and start attributing it to the wisdom of men. We call it near syndrome, near success syndrome. You are almost touching it. Ask the man, have you been praying? Just ask him if he's praying. He will tell you no. So what are you telling him, near success? There's no success there. You're not praying. You're not doing it according to the word of God. And you talk of near success syndrome. There's something like that. This is the reason. Every open door brings its own challenges. And there are many. And so you're not going to do it. You're not going to overcome it by a 15-minute prayer. A casual, weekly, when I say weekly, W-E-A-K, not E-E-K. W-E-A-K-L-Y. Very weak. A miserly prayer. Of 15 minutes, and you say you're going to pass through that door, you're not passing through no door. You need all the aggression in the world to deal with. These are a well-ordered and organized force that is fighting against you. The Bible tells us about how Jehoshaphat heard that three nations had gathered against him. He feared, and what did he do? He instantly, immediately called the fast. We plan fasts. What is today? Today is the, what's today's date now? Today is 30th. Tomorrow is so-and-so's birthday. Next tomorrow, I will miss those birthday if I fast now. You go and look at your calendar. Okay, there's no birthday here, there's no party here, there's no. Okay. Which day do you want to fast now? Sunday, normal Sunday. And you want to fast from 6 to 12. Who is fooling you? That's from 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. When you will be eating? Are you going to be eating at that time? That's you say you're fasting. 6 to 12. As soon as they finish from 12, yeah, let me break my fast. When people hear it, they think you were waiting since. You don't know that it's just 1-6 hours. You probably woke up at 5 and had tea and breakfast before you started the fast at 6. And you say there's an open door and there are adversaries. Pastor, the new place, when we see you, we congrats. Hey, bro, congrats, the Lord will do more. I say, Pastor, that place that God has opened door for me is very hot too. I'm going to need prayers. I'm going to need prayers. Are you praying? No. But Pastor, you're the man of God. Yeah, Father, you're supposed to be praying for us. You will be defeated flatly. It's not a curse. It is the truth. Because, praise the name of the Lord. When you pray, it's not an option. Praying is a necessity. It's mandatory. Nothing can substitute for it. Carrying pastor's Bible, giving fat offering in the church, paying your tithe, which is your duty anyway, blessing the man of God. There are good things to do. I'm not saying don't do that. But they do not substitute for your own prayer. Reading the Bible is good. Quoting scripture is beautiful. In fact, you need them in prayer. But they don't substitute for prayer. You need to pray. We need to pray. Praying is not just an activity. It is life itself. Note that. It's not an activity. It is life itself. For example, is walking an activity? You know, some people tell you it's an activity. It's your life. Go and look for a man who has not walked in a long time. He's a dead man. As far as his muscles are all stiff. Nothing is happening. Even in the hospital where you're lying down, they tell you, try and do some exercises. Those of you who have traveled by air over long distances, 6 hours, the stewards in the airplane will tell you, please take a walk around, drink a lot of water so that your muscles don't stiffen. Walk around. It's not an activity. Some people say it's an activity. It's not an activity. It's life. Praying is not an activity. It's life. We don't say, oh, we're having a prayer meeting. It's good to have prayer meeting. But some people live only for prayer meeting. After the prayer meeting, they continue to do other things. Praying is life. A man who is not praying is dead. At best, he's in a coma. You need to get out of that coma by beginning to pray. I don't know if you've seen a man in coma. He's not talking to you. He may hear you. Some people say they hear. Those who have been in coma, they say they hear what is around, but they can't communicate. They are just cut off. Anybody who is not praying as a Christian, you are in a spiritual coma or you are spiritually dead. Even if heaven is communicating with you, you can't hear. You can't, because you are just dead. That's why you find a lot of prayerless Christians in arguments, in quarrels, and all kinds of things. Getting upset at every little turn because the flesh has taken over. Praying is the antidote to the flesh and its passions, to the cares of this life, and the influence of the world system. On man. Praying is it. Does praying stop the flesh? Sorry, does praying remove the cares of this life? No, the cares are there. School fees are still there. Do you understand? Rent to be paid is still there. Praying doesn't remove it. However, praying gives you the kind of boldness, faith, confidence that God will take care of that. Don't think that because you see somebody standing here and preaching that he has issues. Serious ones. I remember a pastor friend of mine. There's one of his congregants. He's forever pestering him. Man of God, I need prayers. Man of God, I need prayers. So on this occasion, this man came. As usual, man of God, I need prayers. The Lord told the pastor, do you love this man? He said, yes. He said, now, you are going to speak to him in a very stern way. Tell him your situation. So he told the young man, said, brother, it's good you have come today that you need that. You need prayers. But let me tell you something about my problems. He said, as I'm sitting down here, my landlord has asked me to pack out. He said, eh? I said, well, my pastor said, no, you haven't heard half of the story yet. Not only has my landlord asked me to pack out, he has asked me to pack out today before 6 p.m. Say, eh? I said, you haven't heard the story. My landlord is my father. He said, man of God, you need to pray. You need to pray. Let me leave you in so you can be praying for it. So the fact that you see the pastor sitting down somewhere does not mean that he doesn't have issues. And everybody, we all must come to the place where we are all praying. We are all praying. Do you think that I wouldn't be happy to hear somebody come to give, you know, scribble something on a sheet of paper and say, Pastor, this is for you. And I look at it, the Lord is saying this. I would like it. Let me too and say, Lord, are you the one talking to this fellow? The fellow is just trying to bamboozle me. Let me also do that work. But we'd like to hear it from others. There are things that I want to do that I will hold back because I'm waiting to hear from God. And I know God will speak through people. And we expect you to hear. Also, I say, Pastor, I think God is saying this. Let's do this. Quickly, you will see me say, let's do it. Why? Because I've been waiting for a confirmation. But are we praying?
No.
And when we are praying, are we praying? We are praying amiss. We just, Father, that child school fees, if you don't do it, we can't do anything. No? We heard in church that we should be praying. So your prayer focus is now what? School fees. Father, in the name of Jesus, school fees. For the next 1 month, school fees. There are other things to pray for in our life. It's that school fees. You want to be able to deal with your flesh, it's praying. You want to be able to deal with the cares of this life, it's praying. You want to be able to deal with the influence, the negative influence of the world. It's always negative anyway. It's praying. You are struggling with something. It's praying. Maybe you have heard that you shouldn't put on a particular kind of dress. You are struggling with it. Go and pray. The struggle will be over. Somebody has annoyed you. You are very angry. Go and pray. The anger will go away. When I say go and pray, the anger will go away. Sometimes you will pray for 2 hours before that anger leaves, but you must pray it out. There's a strong temptation. Maybe there's one lady in your office. Every time you see her, you are feeling sexual towards her. Go and lock yourself up and start praying. That thing will die instantly. And those kind of prayers is not 2 minutes prayer. See, you pray consistently. Sometimes you have to wake up at night to pray. Say, Lord, this thing that is happening is sinful. I don't want it. You find yourself thinking thoughts that are negative. Start talking to God about it. It's praying. That's the antidote to dealing with the flesh. That's how to deal with those things. You have concerns. Pray. Pray about those concerns. Spend time praying. Minimum 1 hour and see what God will do in your life. The result of praying is a closer walk with God. Anytime you see people who are praying, praying around, you've seen a man who is walking closely. Even a man who is not born again, if he spends time praying to God, say, God, I don't know you, but help me. It is just a matter of time before God's help comes. Many years ago, I didn't know God. I just knew that I had a problem. I had a problem with alcohol. It was a major problem for me. And I tried to get a solution from everywhere. I read books. I read everything on things to stop. I couldn't stop it. One day I picked the Bible. I said, well, maybe there's a solution in the Bible. That was my understanding. So I picked the Bible. I began to read. I read Romans. From chapter 1 to chapter 10. I was reading on. I just wanted to be reading the Bible, see how, because I didn't see anything there anyway, but I was reading on. Then I got to Romans chapter 10, verse 10, and I got stuck and left. I just closed the Bible and threw it away. It was much later I realized that was the point that I needed. It says, for with the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto. But when I was reading, I didn't understand it. That must have been in 1987 or thereabout. I didn't understand it. So I closed the Bible and I threw it away. But from that day on, I started hearing a voice. Today I know it's the Holy Spirit who will tell me why. He was not even discussing alcohol with me. He was discussing salvation. He said, why is it difficult for you to believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And I will argue, and then you will tell me this, you will tell me, I say, Then I'll continue. Maybe 6 months after, it's not as if it happened, I'm talking about something that happened for 3 to 4 years. From that 87 to 91 when I finally got saved. I'll be walking somewhere and I say, why is it difficult for you to believe that Jesus Christ has resurrected from the dead? I said, what is there? I said, have you heard of the burial place of Muhammad? I said, yes. Have you heard of the burial place of this? Yes. Have you heard of, yes. Tell me the tomb of Jesus. I said, that's true. I've never heard of that before. Okay. Small. Until one day, somebody invited me to a breakfast meeting. I went to that breakfast meeting. It didn't make any sense to me. They were making noise. I didn't bother. They finished preaching and said, you want to give your life to Christ? Come. And I found myself going to the front. God had helped me. When I was standing there, that voice that had been speaking to me for 3 to 4 years came and said to me, I brought you here. Yes, if you want, you can go back. And I said to that voice, there and then, that day, said, this place, I'm not going back again. As soon as I made that, others were confessing sins. I wasn't confessing. I was talking to that voice in front. Said, this place, I'm not going back again. And the moment I made that statement, this place, I'm not going back again. I knew that something left my body. It was the demon of alcohol. I was totally free from that day on. From the 15th of June, 1991, to this date, totally free. I'm saying to you that if you pray, even when you don't know Jesus, yes, start praying and let us see whether the salvation of God will not come up. Start talking to God and let us see
whether that thing that God said will not. See, I told you last week of the American who was quarreling about prayer, and they had a bet, and he began to pray for the nation of Kenya. He didn't even pray for any small thing. He went to pray for a nation called Kenya. And through that Christian's prayer, God has been doing things in that nation. Here we are. How many of us are taking the prayer challenge? I want to challenge you today to start praying. I want to challenge you to start praying fervently. Start praying earnestly. Start praying for your wife. Start praying for your husband. Start praying for your brother. Start praying for your sister. Start praying. Leave the focus from yourself. Pray for others. Intercession is good. Once in a while, of course, remember your challenges. Bring them to God, especially those things that are of the flesh. You are angry. You are embittered. You feel jealous. You are dealing with alcohol. You are dealing with prostitution. You are dealing with sexual sins. Bring all of those things to the table of prayer. And let us see whether God will not be true to his word. Let us pray.
Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started with prayer and ended with prayer. Prayer is the master key. Hallelujah. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. Prayer is the master key. Jesus started and he ended. Prayer is the master key. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's me, oh Lord, I'm standing in the need of prayer. It's not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I want us to just go ahead and talk to God. Bring your need before the Lord today. Bring that need before the Lord today. I'm standing here, Lord. I need you to answer me. This is my prayer concern. This is my need. I'm asking you to bring that matter to God today. Pray a selfish prayer today. What is your need? Bring it to God. What is that concern? Bring it to God. What is that challenge? Bring it to God. If you need to stand, you can stand. If you need to move around, you can move. There is space. Talk to God this morning. It's not my father, not my mother. It's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Brethren, open your mouth and talk to God this morning. Say, Lord, it's me. I need prayers today. I'm coming to you, Lord. This is my situation. This is the matter confronting me. I have been discussing it with men. I am sorry I should have been discussing it with you. Lord, I am bringing it to you today. It has been a concern for me. I have discussed it with the pastor. I have discussed it with my brothers. I have discussed it with my sisters.
I've discussed with my father. I've discussed with my mother. I've discussed with uncles. I've discussed with friends. I've discussed with colleagues. But the problem still remains. It's me, Lord, today I'm coming. I come in repentance. I've been going to the wrong people. Today I come to you, Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. Yes, Lord, I'm the one who needs the prayers. I'm coming to you, Lord. This is my matter. This is the situation. An open door. There's an open door before me. But there are many adversaries. Lord, I need wisdom on how to deal with these adversaries. Lord, I need your grace to be able to help fight these adversaries. Father, I'm struggling with a particular matter. There's a matter that is a bother to me. I'm struggling with it. I'm wondering how I can live this life and say I'm a Christian. Lord, I need your grace. Lord, I need your deliverance. Lord, I need your empowerment. I need you to solve my problem for me. I need you to meet me at the point of need. I need you, O Lord. I need you, O Lord. I need you, O Lord. Oh, my Father, my God. Meet me at the point of need. Meet me at the point of need today. Brother, are we praying? Are we praying? Are we praying? Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Makatalika broso kondeliki. Ask me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Whilst on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Holy Ghost fire fall on me. Holy Ghost fire fall on me. Like on the day of Pentecost, fire fall on me. Like on the day of Pentecost, fire fall. We need the fire of God from heaven. Holy Ghost fire. Fire fall on me. Holy Ghost fire. Fire fall on me. Like on the day of Pentecost. Fire fall on me. Like on the day of Pentecost. Right, and let's raise our voices to heaven and say, Holy Spirit, fall on me. Like you did on the day of Pentecost. Let your fire, fresh fire from heaven, let it fall on me. Fresh fire from heaven. Let it loose my mouth. Fresh fire from heaven. Let it loose my heart. Fresh fire from heaven. Let it loose upon me.
fresh fire that loosed the tongues of men, that loosed their tongues and they began to speak as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Lord, fall upon us today. Fall upon us today, Lord, like a mighty rushing wind from heaven. Cause a release from heaven. A release from heaven. A release from heaven. Oh, brother, open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Makatalika rosso kondoriki. Makanda leke rogodoriki. Rekende leke makataya leke. Rosso kondoriki. Rikata loko makatale. Rakada leke makataya leke. Rosondo lika makondoriki. Makataya lika rakatale. Rekende leke makataya leke. What is that need that the fire of God cannot come at it? Makatalika rogodoriki. By the Spirit of God, the Lord will give you a word which when you speak, no adversary will be able to gainsay. Ask for that power from heaven. Ask for the fire, the release. The release, the release, the release. The release of heaven. The release from heaven. The release from heaven. The release from heaven.
Holy Ghost fire burning me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in peace. Holy Ghost fire burning me. Rain on me, rain on me. Holy Ghost showers rain on me. Yesterday's gone, today I'm in need. Holy Ghost showers rain on me.
Brethren, talk to the Lord today. Talk to the Lord. That He will come upon you like fresh fire. That He will come upon you like a shower of blessings. That He will come upon you like never before. And meet you at the very point of need. Meet you at the very point of need. Can't get that place that He will meet you at the point of need. Oh, brother, let's talk to the Lord. Be instant in prayer. Be earnest in prayer. Be fervent in prayer. Oh, your adversary, the devil, is standing. But you can overcome it. You can overcome it. The power is there. The power is there. Rosso leke makatayari. Rosso koto leke makatayari. Let there be release from heaven. Remember, Jesus was praying and the heavens opened. Jesus was praying and the heavens opened. Oh, Father, Rend the heavens today. Rend the heavens today. Rend the heavens today upon me. 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 Makatale ke brokotoreke. Rekekekekeke makatayare. Rosokondorekeke. Rekatale ke makatayare. Rokodoleke makatayare keke. Rokotolekekeke. Makatayare keke. In Jesus' name we are praying. Unquestionable you are the Lord. Unquestionable you are the Lord. Unquestionable, unquestionable, unquestionable you are the Lord. Hallelujah, unquestionable you are the Lord. Hallelujah, unquestionable you are the Lord. Hallelujah, unquestionable, unquestionable, unquestionable you are the Lord. Hallelujah, unquestionable you are the Lord. Hallelujah, unquestionable you are the Lord. Unquestionable, unquestionable. Unquestionable, you are the Lord. One more time, unquestionable, you are the Lord. Hallelujah, unquestionable, you are the Lord. Hallelujah, unquestionable, 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 you are the Lord. Praise the Lord. We want to sing that chorus. We want to pray that chorus. We will say, Lord, who is it that can question you? As many as are withstanding me, as many as are questioning God in my life, Father, show them that you are God. Show them that you are my God.
Unquestionable, you are the Lord. Oh, unquestionable, 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 you are the Lord.
Hallelujah. As many as are questioning you in my life, as many as are questioning you in my life,
Thank you. immortal God, how great thou art, immortal God, invisible God, immortal God, how great thou art, the living God, the great I am. The mighty God, the living God, we bless your name. Immortal God, invisible God, immortal God, how great thou art. Immortal God, invisible God, immortal God, how great thou art. Immortal God, invisible God. How great thou art. Unastahili kuwa budiwa, unastahili ewe Yesu, unastahili wa budiwa, unastahili, unastahili we, unastahili kuwa budiwa. Unastahili ewe Yesu, unastahili kuabudiwa, unastahili we, unastahili we, unastahili we, unastahili kuabudiwa, unastahili. You are worthy, Lord, you are worthy. The living word. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, Almighty God. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are the excellent God. You are worthy, be glorified. You are worthy, Almighty God. You are worthy. Among the gods, who is like thee, glorious in holiness, yet full in praise, always do in wonders. Among the gods, who is like thee, you are glorious in holiness, yet full in praise. Always, you are always, 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 in my life always. Thank you.
God, we magnify you. Blessed be your name, Lord. 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 Thank you, Almighty Everlasting. We worship and we honor you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we have worshipped. So Almighty and Everlasting God, we just want to bless and praise your name. We ask Almighty God, even as we have asked, Lord, thank you for the answers that we have received. Thank you for the answers that we are yet to receive. Thank you for the answers that we will never receive. Thank you for everything, Almighty and Everlasting God. Have your way in each of our midst, Lord. Like never before, Lord, glorify your name. Like never before, Lord, glorify your name. Father, as many of us as have gone into the place of redundancy in our prayer lives, Lord, quicken your fire. Quicken your fire. Quicken your fire. And energize us, Lord, to begin to pray again. As many of us, Lord, whatever the challenges are, as we have cried to you, Lord, we are waiting your answer. We are waiting your answer. Thank you, Everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.